You're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Special intro music tonight for a very special occasion. My guests are Mike Smith of the AIDS Emergency Fund and award-winning chart-topping pop singer Martha Wash, who performs this Saturday, World AIDS Day, in San Francisco. Don't touch that dial. That's It's Raining Men, practically an anthem for many gay men and many others of a certain age, by the Weather Girls, half of whom are in the studio with me. I'm Eric Jansen. It's my joy to welcome to Out in the Bay, Martha Wash.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. And don't worry, we will definitely play some of your very newest music, too. So, yes, dear listeners, we'll play a sneak preview from her new CD due out in January. So stick around. Martha Wash is here in San Francisco this weekend to perform at the AIDS Emergency Fund's 30th Anniversary Gala this Saturday, World AIDS Day, at the AIDS Memorial Grove in Golden Gate Park, and to receive an award from the AIDS Emergency Fund for her years of service to the AIDS community. Also with us in the studio is Mike Smith, Executive Director of the AIDS Emergency Fund, founded in 1982 to provide critical financial assistance to those living with disabling HIV and AIDS. And a little bit of history here for those unfamiliar. Before the Weather Girls issued their It's Raining Men forecast, a huge hit in the early 1980s, Martha Wash and Izora Rhodes were known as Two Tons of Fun and sang with the late, great disco diva Sylvester. Here's one of his biggest hits with Two Tons of Fun.
Got a match? Mm. The fabulous club. Look at all the fabulous people.
Yes,
you want to dance?
Yes, I'd love to.
Let's party a little bit.
All right.
Looking for money in the disco heat. Dancing through the night. The morning light shines on me. Again, music makes me dance. 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 Dance.
That was Sylvester singing Dance Disco Heat in 1978, backed up by one of my guests tonight, Martha Wash. My other guest is Mike Smith of the AIDS Emergency Fund. I'm Eric Jansen. You're tuned to Out in the Bay. Sylvester, who died of AIDS in 1988, willed the rights to his songs to the AIDS Emergency Fund and Project Open Hand. Mike Smith, why did Sylvester do that? What was his connection with the AIDS Emergency Fund?
At the time, there were only a handful of AIDS organizations providing services, and I think that he and other folks in the Castro really saw that AIDS Emergency Fund was really stepping in and helping people by paying their rent and their utility bills when they were first diagnosed, and landlords were often trying to evict people. It was a very dark time, and the work that AEF was doing was really keeping people housed and alive in their last years of their lives, able to live comfortably. And I think he saw that and wanted to do something.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to play a section of one more Sylvester song. This is called You Are My Friend, in which Sylvester sings about friends who've always been there and introduces Two Tons of Fun, Martha Wash and Izora Rhodes, to a live audience. And the interplay here between Sylvester and Martha and Izora, I just love this part. It just brought some tears to my eyes when I was listening to it this afternoon. So this is You Are My Friend. We're going to hear a section of it.
Everything I needed is right here. see these girls, Martha and Zoe. I met them 3 years ago, was it February, Martha?
February.
3 years ago, little audition we held on 6th Avenue in Judah. I will not forget. We had our first rehearsal in a Volkswagen on our way to Marin County. And these girls have stuck with me all through everything, y'all, and they're here right now. I want you to know that. You see, I don't know if y'all have noticed it or not, but these women can sing, y'all. Honey, your ear has to be in your foot to not hear these women can sing. They don't need these dresses. They don't need them jewelries. They don't need that hair. These women can sing, y'all. Now, folks say seeing is believing, right? I done told you everything I could tell you. Now it's their turn to tell you.
That was my guest, Martha Wash, singing You Are My Friend with Sylvester in 1979. Martha Wash, thanks for being here. Where was that concert? Sounds like you and Sylvester in the audience were all having quite a good time.
Oh, we were having a fabulous time. We were at the War Memorial Opera House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right here in San Francisco.
Right here in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in that little bit that we just heard before you're actually singing, he talks about you and Azora auditioning three years before this particular concert. And
we met, yeah.
Yeah, and that you rehearsed in a Volkswagen on the way to Marin County.
It's true.
What was that about?
We were going over to his keyboard player's house, who lived in Marin County. And we were just kind of playing around with some songs that were on the radio. And what we were doing was singing the harmony parts to the songs that were being played on the radio, going across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm. And so that was your first rehearsal with him?
Or? Kind of, sort of,
yeah.
Just
a nice story.
Kind of, sort of, yes. Yeah.
So what was it like performing with Sylvester?
Fun. Crazy. Yeah. Fun and well, first of all, you never kind of knew what to expect, so you had to kind of keep on your toes, because he could change directions on you in a minute as far as music and things were concerned. But it was a good learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. About how to relate to the crowd and have them with you while you're doing your songs and putting on your show, you know, how to interact with them and things like that. It was fun for me. Mm-hmm. It could have been much worse for some of the musicians, but it was fun because it was all very new to me. You know, that was my first professional job. Mm-hmm. Was singing background for him.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like a wonderful experience. Do you have some favorite memories of those times you could share with us?
Oh, some I can't say
on the radio.
Some I can't say on the radio. But one particular time, I have to say, this was some years later. We were in Mexico doing a show. And at that time, he hired another singer, Jeannie Tracy. So it was three of us singing background. We were in Mexico singing at this club. And it wasn't so much Sylvester as it was Jeannie. We were just singing background. We were dancing and having a good time and everything. And Sylvester was out in the front doing his thing. And I think we were doing Dance Disco Heat at that time. And you know how you have smoke for effect and everything? Well, there was smoke coming out on the sides of the stage. And the smoke started rising a little bit. Well, Sylvester couldn't see what was going on in front, but Izora, myself, and Jeannie, we were back there where the smoke was. And Jeannie, bless her heart, she saw the smoke coming up, and she thought the place had caught on fire. So while we're still singing, me and Izora, we're still singing and carrying on, Jeannie runs off the stage thinking that the club is on fire. So we were laughing in between trying to finish singing the song, you know. And after the show was over, then Sylvester knew what was going on because he's saying, well, where's Jeannie? She's off stage somewhere because she thinks the place is getting ready to burn down. And we laughed about that for a long time.
I bet. How close were you and Sylvester?
We were pretty close. Although, in a lot of respects, he did what he did, and I did what I did. And I think, in a way, he may have respected me more. Only because, for some of the things that he used to do that I used to hear about later on, I never knew it at the time that he was doing it. You see what I'm saying? That's why I think he kind of respected me a little bit more. Plus,
I was also a little more professional, a little less misbehaving.
Yeah. You know, he was doing his thing.
Okay.
I was the youngest one in the group.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they were off doing whatever.
Adult things.
You know.
Now, how did it affect you when Sylvester got sick and eventually died of AIDS?
I was sad about it. He called.
You hadn't been working together for quite some time at this point, though. Is that right or not?
No. I had moved to New York, and
your solo career was launched by then, right?
Well, not quite then.
Okay.
We were still, at that point, the Weather Girls. And he called one day and talked to me and my manager and said, you know, I've got it.
Mm.
And it was like, okay. You know, it really did hurt. Because by that time, it was so many people that we had known from the San Francisco Times, even to when I moved to New York, so many people that were in the business that were gone. Before him, it was Patrick Cowley, who used to play for us and work with Sylvester as far as writing, producing songs for him. He was another one. And it just kept growing and growing and growing where it got to the point of picking up the phone and saying hello and somebody telling you somebody else that you know has just gone.
Yeah, those were definitely very scary times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike Smith, how was Sylvester quite involved already with AIDS Emergency Fund before he got sick himself?
He did a few fundraisers in the couple of years after the Weather Girls went one way and he went another. And that was a time when people were rallying in the Castro. Almost every bar in the Castro would do a small fundraiser or something. And he was great at just leaving the house, walking down the hill, going into the Elephant Walk and belting out songs to raise money for whatever the cause was. And he was really involved in some of the very earliest, really community-based fundraisers in the Castro.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that, as we mentioned earlier, he willed the rights to his songs to the AIDS Emergency Fund and Project Open Hand. Is that a large part of your budget, or is that pretty small? I mean, he's a huge star here, but I don't know if he is around the rest of the country or not.
He is a huge star here, and he... I think the thing that made a difference for us is the move to digital and the downloading of music. And so many people remember his songs, and so many young people are still being introduced to him every day. Those little penny here and a penny there for a download, you'd be surprised. It's $30,000 or $40,000 a year, which for us is enough money for many, many clients to get an intervention from us and get their rent paid, their utility shutoff notices canceled, and it's amazing that 30 years into this, we're still here doing this. And I think it would be really amazing to him that 24 years after he died, he was still contributing to the community in this kind of way.
So before we play one of Martha's new songs, I want to ask you, Mike, about what, tell us what the AIDS Emergency Fund does and how your clients have changed over the years since you started 30 years ago, not just in numbers, but have their needs changed a lot?
Yeah, they have. We're one of the very oldest AIDS organizations in the country. That we were founded in 1982. The AIDS Foundation was founded the same year. They were doing more work around information and education, and we were more doing direct services. And back then, people would live a few months, and it was an awful, awful end. And what we would do is step in and really help in those last few months to let people live with dignity and stay housed. And that's pretty much what we've continued to do. The epidemic has changed. People are living a lot longer. But we have a lot of clients who have been living for 10, 15, 20 years with HIV and have depleted their savings, are living on Social Security, trying to make ends meet in San Francisco. You know, they're getting $900 a month in disability check in San Francisco. That's staggering. I don't know how many of our clients live. And we're there every once in a while to help pay a back rent bill, or if they've got a shutoff notice from PG&E, we'll step in and pay it for them. We're doing everything we can so that people can live with dignity in San Francisco and still be part of the community.
So here we are roughly 30 years into the epidemic, 30 years since AEF started. What is the, you know, this is a huge question, of course, but what's the current status, so to speak?
It's been a really good year in a lot of ways. There's been a lot of really good news that came out of the International AIDS Conference this summer in June. There are some real breakthroughs around prevention. There are drugs available now that people can take if they're high risk to keep them from getting infected. And there are new intervention strategies that I think mean fewer and fewer people will be infected each year and eventually will stop the spread of HIV. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful piece of news we've waited years to see happen. Of course, the flip side of that still is in San Francisco, there are 15,000 people living with HIV, half of whom are living below the poverty level. So on the one hand, we've got great news about the end of the epidemic in many ways and the prevention breakthroughs, but it's kind of leaving behind the folks who are living with HIV. We aren't talking about a cure. We're talking about prevention measures. So I'm concerned that the country and people will focus on, oh, there's all this good news around prevention. It must be over. I can go give my money somewhere else. I can do something else. And you kind of forget that there's still an invisible population of this city who are living in poverty with HIV. And many of them live in the Castro, but they live in the Tenderloin. They live all over the city.
Well, that segues perfectly into my next question, which was how, you know, with this perception that, oh, AIDS is curable now. It's not such a big deal. And it's not the sexy new disease anymore. How does that affect your funding and the funding of other AIDS service organizations?
It's made it tough. I mean, we're feeling like we're pushing a rock up a hill every year. I've been saying for a couple of years now, steady is the new up. Our budget doesn't grow. We just pedal harder and harder to get right to the same place because AIDS has fallen off the radar in a lot of ways. And I don't know that there's going to be a way to get it back on. People move on to other causes. Breast cancer, other things are sexier these days. But that's why things like Sylvester, where year in and year out, we get a little bit of money here and there from the royalties. Those little income streams are steady and they add up, and it gives us enough of a base to provide services.
So tell us about the big celebration and commemoration this weekend, this Saturday, World AIDS Day.
Yeah. We've got Martha here performing with us. She's going to be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. We're in a giant tent in the middle of the AIDS Memorial Grove. They usually do an event the night before World AIDS Day, tomorrow night. But the tent's going to be up all weekend, and so they've gifted it to us. And we're doing a sit-down dinner for what was first going to be 300 because we thought that's all it holds. Right now we're at 370, and I'm not quite sure where we're going to put everybody. And, you know, the weather's not going to be all that good. It's going to be raining more than men. And the AIDS Memorial Grove is down in a valley, so it could be quite an interesting night. But we have a wonderful performance from Martha. We have really all of AEF's extended family and donors gathered together to mark 30 years of doing what we're doing, and in many ways to recommit to still be there as long as people are in need.
Is it completely sold out yet?
It is I have four people. I haven't figured out where to put them yet.
Okay.
So, yes, we are.
Well, then, you know, we'll tell the website just so people can learn about it and learn about AIDS Emergency Fund. It's AEF-SF.org. Is that right?
Correct.
Good. And, Martha, what are you going to be singing there tomorrow night? Do you know? Have you got your song list figured out yet?
Basically, yes, I do. I'll do some songs from the new CD.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, we do have a single from the new CD, and the new CD is, I know it's right here somewhere. I know the name of the song. It's My Time. And the name of the CD is?
It's called Something Good.
Something Good. Thanks very much. So before we play this, can you tell us just a little bit about this single? Who wrote it? Did you write it? And
no, I did not write this song. It's My Time was written by a lady by the name of Helena Johansson. She's a Swedish songwriter who moved to Nashville and began songwriting and singing there. And we found her music. And this particular song was something that we really, really liked and could feel. The song is called It's My Time. It's for anyone who has, or they come to a point in their life where they need to make a change, or they see that they need to do something different, or maybe recommit to something that they're doing, and they say, this is my time.
I can see it clear. I'm getting close. I'm almost there. It's indescribable. It's my
Goodbye.
That is It's My Time, Martha Wash singing from her new album, Something Good. That is a Out in the Bay exclusive preview, folks. It's heard first here in the Bay Area. Thank you so much, Martha, for giving us that exclusive.
You're welcome.
That first shot premiere. And if you want to know more about, I'm going to say this now before I forget, more about Martha Wash, go to her Facebook page, facebook.com/TheMarthaWash. And if you want to know more about the AIDS Emergency Fund, AEF-SF.org. Martha, tell us a little bit more about why you chose to have that song on your album and why you're releasing this as the, I guess you're releasing this as the single to promote the album. Is that right?
Yeah.
What is it about that song that speaks to you?
Well, all of the songs in particular, they're hopefully will be empowering to people, inspire them, give them a little hope. And just something to make them feel good. Make them feel good.
Well, I'm going to be hoping to feel great at this big event Saturday night. Thank you so much for being there for that. Mike Smith, anything more you want to let us know about that or any parting words about the AEF, AIDS Emergency Fund?
No, we're just so glad to have Martha here, and we're looking forward to a great show on Saturday.
Fantastic. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. Heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time on KALW.org worldwide and at 91.7 FM in the Bay Area and anytime you want on our website, outinthebay.com. By the way, later tonight, if you missed any earlier parts of the show, you should be able to hear that tonight, outinthebay.com. Homepage, you'll see a link to tonight's show. You can also find 6 months worth of archives there and sign up for free weekly podcasts and take us with you on your mobile device by signing up for Stitcher. That's right, Stitcher, the application that lets you download radio programs. It's all free. It's all on our website, outinthebay.com. We hope you will you enjoy hearing our program and that you'll help keep Out in the Bay going strong for another 8 years. We receive studio time from KALW, for which we're very grateful, but no financial support. We do rely on community support, KALW. We thank KALW for studio time. This week's engineer, Joanne Marr, I also especially want to thank. Threw her a lot of curves with the music selections at the last minute. Thanks also to WY Enterprises for keeping outinthebay.com looking sharp and working well. Services for your life and your business, WYEnterprises.com. We'd love to hear from you, so write to us, Marilyn@outinthebay.com and Eric@outinthebay.com. And one final word, if your business would like to help support Out in the Bay and receive on-air thanks heard by our thousands of listeners weekly, please see the sponsors page on our website, outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening. Thank you.